going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think that's a very good attitude.
It's Mike Shope.
You don't think? I don't think you should be butting in when I'm talking to my team. You're my assistant, okay? You're supposed to back me up and go get me juice boxes when I tell you. Now go get me a juice box.
You know who you're talking to.
It's the Bulldog.
I'm talking to the juice box guy.
You're crazy.
I'm not crazy. I'm just thirsty.
Why don't you go to hell?
No, you go to hell. While you're there, why don't you grab me a juice box?
I'm no juice box boy, I'll tell you that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you
it's
are.
Mike
I'm
Show
not.
Yes, you and are. The Bulldog no, on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'd love a conversation about this, and advice even. We've certainly spent enough damn time on all the prospects and the possibilities. All this interest in the draft, all these years, I have never found a good way of watching it. I don't really want to be out. I did out for a few years. Mm-hmm. We had a betting game. That was fun, but it got to be too much for me. I just wanted to spend more time sort of focused on it, not just what is Chicago going to do? Like, I wanted a little bit more relaxed vibe than that. You can't really use Twitter during the draft because Twitter will tell you the pick before TV does. And if you like the moment, the drama of the announcement, I mean, just try it. Twitter, if you're on Twitter, they will tell you the pick before the pick is announced.
Right.
Just because of the time that it takes for the, you know,
And that's even worse. And it's even worse if you're streaming, like we are both. Like,
right?
That's even slower. There's more lag on most streaming services, anyway, than there would be on cable or satellite. At least that's been my experience so far. So, it's that can be tough.
Also, I don't mind the commentary as much as maybe I think I should. Like, you know, I've enjoyed that well enough. Just watching the draft. If that's enough for you, then that's enough. Where you have the TV on.
That is usually what I end up doing, but I usually revert to it's really Kuiper, as it turns out, because I don't think I really, you know, Berman was always like meatloaf and mashed potatoes for me with gravy. Like, it's good. This isn't elite. This isn't something I would go out and pay $25 for, but you put a plate of meatloaf in front of me with some mashed potatoes and some gravy, I am eating the you-know-what out of that. I'm going to love it. And Berman was that for me on the draft, right? So now it's Greenberg, I think, and that's not, you know, he maybe is a more polished broadcaster than Berman ever was, but it just doesn't work for me. And so it's really Kuiper. Every time I've gone to the NFL Network, I don't stay there more than 30 seconds.
And I've always liked that one more.
Right. It just makes me nuts there. I don't know why. It might just be visually, it just looks so different than what I'm used to with ESPN.
It's Rich Eisen, right?
Yeah. And I like him a lot. So maybe I should try that and see if it can take, but I've never really liked any of the analysis I'm getting there. Like Steve Mariucci was there for a while. I don't know if he's still a part of the draft coverage. I know he's on the network still and has been. It just never really worked for me.
Well, that's maybe your first decision is which network. You could listen to us. I mean, if you want Bills throughout the night, you'd listen to us, I would think. So there's that option. I want fantasy, which I'm not going to get from
any of the network
ESPN
shows.
Or NFL Network. I've watched the Pro Football Focus roundtable. Collinsworth is on that. Sam and Steve have left. They do their own now, which I think might be good because they're good. So why wouldn't it be good? And then there's the one I'll be on tonight, Ship Chasing, which is absolutely a fantasy stream. I'd recommend it if anybody's serious about fantasy. The guys are great. It's funny. And they've lined up like 10 of us, you know, for different markets to talk about our home teams. I've got the Bills, which will be really late. So how do I do that, though? Like, I want to watch. I don't have that basement. I don't have six screens or anything like that. Right. I've got maybe two. I could use my phone and my laptop. I've got maybe three, but I can't listen to everything.
I could get to three. Because my phone would be one of them. I could borrow a laptop and log into our streaming, and I could find my way to three screens if I wanted.
But you can only listen to one broadcast.
Right. And what I liked the PFF thing. Trevor Sycamore was a big part of that year, and Collinsworth was there because he's the one who said, like, I know how this is going to sound when the Bills drafted Kincaid. I was watching them right after the Kincaid pick. I went to it, and, you know, he comped Kincaid to Travis Kelce. I'm like, oh, wow. And I liked that show, but it's not – doesn't have the highlights and, like, it's just the dudes talking.
Right.
It's like this show, except, you know, they're draft experts.
And you don't get the announcement.
Right.
They tell you what the announcement was.
Right.
I like the announcement. I want that. I want those moments. Mm-hmm. Who's it going to be? Am I wrong about this? Goodell, when he makes the announcement with the 30th pick in the NFL draft, the Buffalo Bills select, name of the player, position, maybe school.
Mm-hmm.
Roselle, I don't know about Tagliabue, but that used to be the position first. Roselle was great. Like, he would leave you hanging.
Okay.
That clip we have of the Jets in 83, quarterback, Ken O'Brien. Like, that's beautiful. Give me that.
Right.
Because put the position down and I can think for a second.
A little more theater there. Yeah. That works.
If Goodell tonight were to switch to that, with the 30th pick in the NFL draft, the Buffalo Bills select running back. I would scream over the name. I wouldn't hear the name.
Right.
I'd have to find out later who the name was. Just running back. We would all just be gasping, and you know, maybe miss. Yeah. Why shouldn't it be that way? That's more fun. Yeah.
I don't think he'll be announcing the Bills pick. They have a fan that is going to announce the pick. I don't have the name and the details.
Oh, really?
I know I saw a video a week or two ago. Because even some people went so far with it. I saw some. I looked at the comments. They've got a guy to make this selection. They're not going to trade the pick. They've got a guy arranged to make the pick. But, like, in the video, Bean says, our first pick, not our first round pick. So I saw people, like, you know, debating that. Like, they're not going to trade it. They've got this guy arranged to come do it. And, like, I don't know. I don't know that has to be a deal breaker, you know. Although I know last year we were talking like this about or whenever
it was Kansas City,
right?
A couple of years ago,
right?
Or was it CEH? Even what one of those years? The year they hosted, they might have been the Super Bowl champs and picked last, and they were not going to trade out of that pick.
Right. It wasn't CEH. It was after
no, it wasn't
that. CEH. But yeah,
they've won a couple.
There was a big like they were gonna. There was more to the presentation than just making the pick. And you were like, "There's no way they're bailing out."
That's
that.
Right. Right. That's right.
So I don't think this Bills thing rises to that level, but they do have someone I think selected to make the pick for them. That's
okay.
a fan of the team.
Here's Mike with us. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you, Mike?
Good.
Good. I wanted maybe a little different take on some of the things I've heard. I agree that the most pressing need for the Bills is to get probably one a cornerback and two a defensive tackle. But when I look at the thing that made them unsuccessful last year and the inability to get to the next level is the inability to get off the field on third down. So in my mind, the best way to fix that is if at 30, and I know this isn't always doable, is if you can sign or if you can draft a blue chip pass rush edge guy that's twitchy, which is kind of the thing we don't have right now. And keeping in mind, Bosa's a one-year deal, and we're losing Epinesa while he's on one-year deal as well. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best way to do it. So let's say, for example, if there's a guy like Pierce there, and the Bills are good with, you know, any other attitude issues or anything like that, I think that's their best way to go. And then look for, with the two picks, corner and D-tackle in the second. And just one other quick point. I would look to move up into the third round if they could, or early in the fourth, and draft a guy like Dante Thornton from Tennessee. He's 6'5". He runs a 4.3 40. He led the nation in yards per catch. He does not have to catch 80 balls for the Bills. He'd make 40 be nice. He needs to stretch the field and be a threat and open up the middle of the field, because the Bills don't have that guy either. And all these other receivers they're talking about, like Luther, whatever his name is.
Burden,
Burden. Yeah, these guys are glorified slot receivers. We got all slot receivers, including Coleman. We need a guy with some speed to at least keep them honest. Every now and then you hit on that, but also open up that mid-range stuff for all those slot guys and for our tight ends.
Before you go, Mike, just to tell you, I use the Football Guys rookie draft guide, and among other things, and they have a comp for each player. I know a lot of places do. Their Dante Thornton Jr. comp is Justin Shorter, who was here. He was a Bills draft pick.
You know who mine is, actually? He's the poor man Randy Moss to me.
Well, that's a little more complimentary than Justin Shorter, I guess.
Justin Shorter didn't run a 4.3 40 either.
Right. Okay. No, you're right.
Like his size.
You're right.
And this guy is long. He doesn't have to be. I don't want a first rounder. We got, like, everybody eats. That's fine. We just need one guy that keeps them honest and stretches the field and opens up underneath. And one last point I wanted to make. I have this theory in general anyways that in the first round, you draft really five positions only. They're the most impactful positions on the field and the most expensive, so you get the fifth year. That is, first in order is your quarterback. Second is an edge rusher. Third is your corner. And then fourth and fifth, you can say, is either your wide receiver or your left tackle. But the point is to take a run-stuffing one technique guy in the first round, the marginal difference between him and the third round guy that does it is he might get two more sacks.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I agree with that.
Yeah, I've been saying that a lot, so much so that Mike thought one of our experts said it.
I'm pretty sure one did.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I stole it from that person, but I've been feeling that way for quite a while. I like the caller's thinking. I heard Sal this morning. I can't remember if it was on the morning show or if it was on his own show, or it definitely wasn't with us an hour ago, say exactly that. Like, they might be looking, the Bills might be looking for a very specific type of receiver, and the speed element is exactly that. So if you can find that in a 6'5" package on Saturday, and I don't need him to play 80% of the snaps and catch 80 balls like Mike is saying. I need him to play a role and, you know, get out there, make, you know, establish that it needs to be respected. So you have to hit on some plays, at least throw the ball down there to him and make teams respect it. And that might, to start off, be all you're looking for. And I can accept that. I mean, I can get lost in the intrigue and the excitement of Matthew Golden or even Burden, we've talked about a lot. Any other guys that are, you know, above Saturday, either the Iowa State guys or the Utah State guy, Noel and Higgins, those guys. Those guys all sound like Friday guys to me. So this Thornton does not. And I might be okay with that. It's not the sexiest thing, but it might be functionally exactly what you're looking for.
Mike sounded like somebody to me. George Perlis. Know that name?
Not sure I do, no.
George Perlis was the Michigan State coach for a long time. Before that, he was a Steelers assistant. You know, I have all those Super Bowl NFL film shows, like just completely burned into my brain. The Super Bowl 10 one, he's talking to Greenwood and Joe Green. He's the defensive line coach of the Steelers that year.
He sounds like this guy.
This guy's voice reminded me of that. Well. That can't be you. That can't be LC. Screw the pass, whatever he says in that clip. I guess I don't have it memorized, but I guess I think I have his voice.
That's
now.
What happens when you watch those things 1,000 times.
You don't memorize the words?
No, no. I just mean you, the voice of someone's voice. Like, oh, this sounds like a guy from this. Like,
yeah.
That's all.
Thanks, Mike. A lot of good points. Poor man's Randy Moss. And that's Mediterranean Avenue. Right? And that's the first piece on the Monopoly board. You know, no offense to the guy. Maybe he'll be good. I don't know that he won't. But you know, if we're talking about the fifth round or even the fourth versus Randy Moss,
yeah,
one of the all-time greats. All right. Speaking of receivers.
Oh, is this the new name? You teased the new name at the top of the hour.
I did. Evan Silva's final mock draft. I believe second and final. I wonder who does the most. Maybe Chris does one every week.
Right, right.
Somebody's out there doing one every day, I bet.
I kind of want to guess.
All right.
At 30?
Yes. No trades in this mock draft.
I'm going to say he has the Bills taking Buka.
No.
Okay.
Baltimore did.
Mm. Too bad.
Also, McMillan went to Dallas.
It's a new name?
Well, I have not seen this name mocked to the Bills, I think, yet.
Okay.
This is a player we've talked about.
Is it Matthew Golden?
Yes.
That was excited. That took my breath away. That's what that was.
See, again, wouldn't it be better if Goodell put the position first when he made the announcement? You could have a half second to think about who it might be.
Let me send him a text.
You know what it is? You get two... Yeah, do that.
Hey, Commissioner. Radio's the bulldog here in Buffalo. My co-host.
Big fan. Yeah, big fan. You get two...
Thanks for taking my call.
You get two... I'm so right about this. I have no idea whether Dante Thornton will be good. I'm right about this. You get two jolts of energy. Wide receiver. Okay. Can we stop the clock?
Yeah. Whoa!
Let me just think about that for a second.
Right.
Who could it be? Who's available? He doesn't have to give you 30 seconds there, but just one is enough to start.
Yep.
Your mind starts racing. And then the name, and that's a second jolt of energy. You say the name first. You know, you follow the draft. You already know what position he played and what school he went. So you don't even hear the rest of the announcement
right.
once you hear the name. But the other way...
You can even pump it up to the point where you go position, then the school. Because in the case of Matthew Golden, I mean, not that Isaiah
right.
Bond is thought of as the same level of prospect, but still, he's been tied to the Bills. He's met with the Bills, a 30 visit for the Bills. So you go wide receiver, Texas, I know both guys are available. I don't know which one it is.
Yeah, I'd want to go back and forth on that. I wouldn't want to do it every time that way because it takes a while to say the name of the school, and it's going to be a formality most of the time once you know the position and the school. Like, you won't even hear the name then. But, yes, it would be cool to do that if there were two guys.
Yeah. Only where there are two guys. Like
only where there are two guys.
Texas guys, the Iowa State guys, at receiver I'm talking about here specifically, right? I know there are other schools where there are, you know, more than one prospect at a position.
Yes. It's a good idea. It's not original. Roselle. That's how we used to do it. The GOAT.
That's what we're going with?
The commissioner, the GOAT of commissioners. No?
NFL-wise or just overall?
Everything.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Oh,
who do you put above him?
The NBA guys.
David Stern?
I mean, building-wise, like he gets a lot of credit for... Like the template, like Bettman was under him and he came to the NHL and tried to do kind of similar, I think. But I'm thinking of the new guy, Adam Silver, like, although I think it's lost a little juice there, but it seemed like when he showed up, like it's sort
Everybody
of
loved him.
New ideas and exciting and all that. So
Giamatti for baseball. There's no other baseball commissioner has been even liked.
That's right.
I liked Faye Vincent because I got to talk to him. So I came to like Faye Vincent, but I didn't really have an opinion of him when he was on the job. Those conversations were after he was out as commissioner. But Giamatti had it.
I did that once with you, Faye Vincent.
Yeah?
Yeah, I remember it.
Giamatti was the best. Brilliant guy. eloquent speaker.
Yep.
Somebody you just had to listen to.
And did, really was the last, I think this came up when we were talking to Faye Vincent. Like, he was the last of the, what the commissioner really was prior to this modern era that we're in now.
The ombudsman.
Yeah, it was what's right for the game, what's the best thing to do for the sport, and everyone else that has followed him. And I think even Faye Vincent sort of got, like, derailed. It just, like, the business sort of took over. And you're just the steward for the owners, not the game.
And he was the commissioner when they canceled the World Series, so that's never going to go over well.
Right.
But Roselle, the problem with Roselle, just lastly, as the choice, is that anybody involved in the AFL would hate it, because Roselle was the enemy to the AFL. So I guess I'd have to be careful around Ange, you know. I'd have to just be careful where I say this. 803-0550 for your calls. The draft tonight, round one. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, listening to your ideas, bouncing our own off of you guys and each other. We'll be back after sports here on W.